Hi there, smutty babies. Just a quick warning that this episode includes mature content that should be enjoyed by individuals 18 and up. Now, let's get smutty in here. Welcome back to Smutty Babies. I'm Tina here with Tay, and today we are going to be talking about When a Scot Ties the Knot by Tessa Dare, a
Woohoo!
historical romance. Let's
Okay.
go. Taylor, tell us all about it.
Tell us all about it, like the summary. Okay,
Tell us all about
I'm
it.
gonna read the back of the book, guys, so get ready. On the cusp of her first London season, Miss Madeline Gracechurch was shy, pretty, and talented with a drawing pencil, but hopelessly awkward with gentlemen. She was certain to be a dismal failure on the London marriage mart, so Maddie did what generations of shy, awkward young ladies have done. She invented a sweetheart. A Scottish sweetheart, one who was handsome and honorable and devoted to her, but conveniently never around. Maddie poured her heart into writing the imaginary Captain Mackenzie letter after letter, and by pretending to be devastated when he was not really killed in battle, she managed to avoid the pressures of London society entirely. Until years later, when this kilted Highland lover of her imagining shows up in the flesh, the real Captain Logan Mackenzie arrives on her doorstep. Handsome as anything, but not entirely honorable. He's wounded, jaded, and in possession of her letters, and ready to make good on every promise Maddie never expected to keep.
Sheesh. It was so good. All
It's so
right.
good. Like, let's honest, I've never read a historical romance and I'm ready for another one already.
That is was gonna be my first question, Taylor. What were your preconceived notions of historical romance?
I'm not gonna lie to you, and I don't know why I thought this, but I kind of was like, dang, really, we're gonna go there. We're gonna be grandmas. But I am a grandma, so like I was like, all right, I'm gonna go, but I never thought I would actually go that deep. But I'm glad I did because it was actually really, really amazing. I loved the plot, I loved the build up, I loved this tension in the book. And it's funny because there was bookshelves on bookshelves in both of my grandmother's houses with these novels on them, and I never read them, and now I wish I would have, and I wish I never would have thrown them away.
Yeah, my first historical romance, like my grandma brought a box of books to our house, and I took a bunch out of her box, and I just took them as a joke. And my mom literally was like, be careful with those. And I was like, okay. And so me and an old roommate ended up, I was like, let's do it. Like, let's read these as jokes, you know? And I loved it so much. And that was honestly a good first taste of smut.
It really
It grew
is.
for their grew from there for me. So
Like, honestly, I feel like me as a mother. If I read these and I like picked which ones weren't too crazy, I'd probably let my teenage daughter read these just to like get an understanding of like they're gonna think about things, they're gonna wonder. So why not, you know?
Honestly, it would probably, for me, I would be like, yeah, go ahead, read it. And then it'll just set an unrealistic expectations, and then they'll leave boys alone in high school because high school boys suck. So maybe she'll wait till college.
True, yeah.
That'd be fantastic. But yeah, okay, so your preconceived notion was that it's for grandmas.
Well, I just thought it was, you know, it probably wasn't going to be as good as that, you know what I mean, as modern day smut, which is one of my questions, so I'll hold off on that. But
Okay.
yeah,
Fair.
I thought it was going to be a little bit more traditional, a little bit more conceited. Maybe that's not the word. I can't think of the right word I'm trying to use, but a little bit more territorial,
Oh, okay.
you know?
Yeah, I
Especially in this time, like this is in a time period or based in a time period where, you know, women still are covered up and stuff like that. So it's just interesting to read and have all the naughtiness that happens in
Yes.
that time period.
So personally, my first notion of these types of books, like I've heard them called bodice rippers and
Bottom, okay.
bodice rippers. So the first time I saw it was like a commercial with Fabio in it. Do you remember
No.
that act? Like he was a model. He was like an older man with super long, like dirty
That
blonde hair.
sounds really
His name was
familiar.
Fabio, and he was on the cover of literally everything. And so That was the first time we used to, it was like a family joke. We would call my dad Fabio because he had no hair.
Okay, cool.
And so we always would call him that. But that was what I thought. And I was like, ew, he's so gross. Like, it was like, he's not cute. So I never thought I could find the men in these books attractive. So that's why I never started reading them. Because I thought they were all like Fabio.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I
ew,
guess on the
no.
covers, a lot of them are
Oh no,
long haired
they
and
make them smoking hot. Even the guy on this book
oh
is
God, yeah,
hot.
no, I would totally go Scottish. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Reading this novel has made me restart Outlander.
Oh yeah. I never watched Outlander.
What? It's really good.
I
It's
have all the
really good.
books right there. I've never read them. Never read them.
They're hard to read. I only have the first one. I've always wanted to read the Outlander series. I've tried to read the first book, got about a third of the way through it, and it is just so hard to keep up with. They speak Gaelic in the book, and not all of it's translated. So I found myself, because I want to know what they're saying, so I found myself translating their Gaelic, and either it wouldn't translate properly, or it just took so much time to read it that I finally was like, I'm getting annoyed. I didn't even get to the smut in the book, and I've heard the smut in that book is awesome. If it's anything
Really?
like in the show, it is good.
Nice. I absolutely loved the accent that she has for him.
Very, very good.
Vera, Vera, Vera. I
The
don't know.
Scottish
We
twang.
say it with a freaking southern accent, but
We do.
he goes, first rule to Boggs, dinna panic.
Do not panic. I know, I love that.
Okay.
Whenever there's a lot of humor in this too.
So much humor. That's why I suggested this book first, because it
Yeah.
was funny and also so freaking adorable.
It's so adorable. I love it. Oh my gosh, I
Yes.
have so many questions for you.
Okay.
Okay, so wait,
You want
before
to
we get
first?
too deep, we've already forgotten to do something.
Let's read our favorite line.
No, that's not what we already forgot, something more important than that.
Peaches.
Peaches. So what's your peach rating, Christina?
I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it a 3.
Really?
I think I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah.
'Cause we've read books with way more in there. And so it doesn't feel like a whole lot, but the buildup is Vera, Vera, Vera
Very, very
good.
good. I'm
You're
gonna give you a real crazy. This point is gonna sound insane. I'm gonna tell you
about to
that.
give it a 5.
I'm about to give it a five.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I
Okay.
loved this book. I whipped through this book in like a day. Not completely. Technically, it was over 3 days, but in the first 2 days, I sat down with it for just a few minutes. I
At a
was
time, yeah.
reading it for very short periods, but I finished this so quick. I loved this book. And I'm a smutty whore. So I thought that even the traditional aspect of it was still, it was so good. I loved it.
I feel like the traditional aspect is what makes it so hot, Taylor, because they're in a time where modesty is like they can't even be in the same room alone. Like the rules of the Regency era are
Insane.
insane. And I think that's why it makes it so freaking hot. That's why Bridgerton, it stuff like that, it's so
Yes.
good because oh, like just a glimpse of a freaking calf for
I
them is
know.
like, oh my gosh,
It's probably
I
because they
saw her
never see
ankle. Yeah,
it, you
I saw
know?
her ankle. I'll be thinking about her ankle for forever. I'm like, bro, I wish someone would think of my ankles.
Forever. You know what? Maybe we should become more modest.
I think I have over the years, just because I was on a kick and I ended up reading about when I first started reading historical smut, I ended up buying a whole bunch because they're like $4 freaking. I read like 20 of them and I literally changed my wardrobe because I was like, I like the fact of like the mysterious men have no idea what's under their skirts, you know? Has no have they have no idea. And then telling them to lift their skirts, ugh, but
That's a good feeling.
that's one of my favorite lines. But yeah, I love the modesty in Regency era in these historical romance. I think that's what adds to the sexual tension is the not knowing the mystery of
Yes.
what you're gonna get.
Even for the men, in my opinion.
Yeah, even for the men. Because they're like, oh my gosh, his shirt all got all wet. Now I can see his chest and muscles. Oh my gosh,
His
dude, his shirt.
pectorals.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing about this book. I found myself reading this book and feeling so educated because of the freaking vocabulary in the romance area is so different to modern day smut, and
Yeah.
it's amazing.
It's like wanna fuck, and then you read historical smut, and it's like, I wanna take you to bed, I wanna do this, I need to pleasure you.
Yeah.
Oh, the
Like,
southern.
you taste exquisite. Like, who
Yeah.
the fuck says exquisite nowadays?
Our kiss is incendiary.
Yes! I just loved it. I thought it
That's my favorite
was.
word because of this book.
Oh, man, I love this. It was so good. Okay. Go ahead, give me your favorite lines.
Okay.
Mine, I'm just gonna warn you, are gonna. Mine are more of a paragraphal situation.
Of course they are.
Descriptions.
Of
They.
course they are. All right. I'm gonna say it with his accent because he says this, but I was just like, it was so humorous, and that's why I was like, dude, I love humor. So to me, this was, I was like, sheesh. But he goes, I will namus your curls, not the ones on your head at any rate. I was like, oh, snap. Okay.
Was a good one. I
Okay.
like
'Cause
that
she was
one.
like, no, don't mess with my hair. They just took forever, like, doing my hair, and it looks so pretty. And he's like, it's okay. I won't mush your curls. At least not the one on your head. I was like, oh, sheesh. All right, go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Okay, this is it. Found it, sorry. So this is just him describing. It's not like an actual word or anything like that, but it was he couldn't bear the growing tension anymore. His cock throbbed in vain, trapped beneath the wet woolen folds of her plaid. See, woolen. Like, who says that nowadays? Sorry. He was desperate for some kind of contact, resistant touch, heat. He had to take control. I just loved that, you know?
Yes.
Like, his inner thoughts. I just thought that was such a good buildup, and it was like, dang, okay, he's even restraining himself. Okay, and then my other one was he smiled against her mouth. She was only wearing one shift tonight. With a low, weary groan, he dipped his head and began to draw a line of kisses down her neck. He skimmed one hand down the firm slope of her thigh, gathering the muslin and giving it an upward tug. Logan, she gasped. That, I don't know why, but I liked that. I just think that the vocabulary is different. The way they
Yes.
describe things in there is
I
really cute
think
and sweet.
we forgot to go into a little more detail about the book. So she is gifted a castle by her godfather, and Lo Mr. Captain, sorry, Captain Logan Mackenzie shows up on her front door, and he's demanding her to marry him because he wants what he's owed in the
Yeah.
letters. He got every single letter. He memorized every single letter
Word
she
for word.
ever wrote to him. And then he was angry and jaded because she had the nerve to kill him off. And then went years with no letters. And then so he shows up and he's like, no, like everyone was coming back from the war. All the Scottish men were coming back from the war, and their lands, their houses, their families were gone.
Taken by English women.
Yes, or taken
Well,
by
I guess in
English
a.
people.
Yeah, English people, yeah.
So taken by English people, and they were coming back, and he wanted his men to have a home, have somewhere to go. And so he shows up at this castle, wants her to marry him so that he can be have this castle and be the owner, and then be the head of the town and everything. And so he wants a place for his people to a place for people to build a life.
And they get married in like a day or two, but it takes a lot for them to
Literally
consummate the marriage.
that night,
And
yes.
yeah, and then consummating the marriage is what basically, if they don't, she can take it away from him.
So yeah, the ceremony that they go through is a formal like betrothal.
It's like a Scottish wedding, so it's more of a hand
Yes.
fasting.
Yes. And so they have to consummate it to make it an actual marriage. So he's giving her time to do it. And the first night she wears two shifts. And shifts are like the underclothes that women wear, that they used to wear to bed. So
Kind of like a slip.
she wore two so that he couldn't get to her. It was for extra protection. And so I thought that was hilarious.
I
Like
did too.
the humor was so good in this book.
Yeah, and then she was like, it's on backwards, so you can't do it. It
She
was
literally
just
put on
funny.
two, and one was backwards.
Okay, here's my last scene, guys. My last scene. And it's a little bit long, so just get ready. Hold on tight. It was, he was in command here. Come, Moshiri, he whispered. I need to feel you come for me. Her body went rigid, save for a delicious tremor in her thigh that let him know her peak was near. He kept his rhythm steady, ignoring the soreness in his wrist and the ache of unspent need in his groin. She bit her lip and her eyes squeezed shut. That's it. Let it happen. And then he felt it, her body seizing around his fingers, shuddering with the bliss of orgasm. The cries of pleasure she made were timid and subdued, but no less arousing for it. Like, come on.
I almost chose that, that he felt her
shimmer
around his fingers. I almost chose that line, but that was so good.
That was so good. And, like, okay, I'm sorry, but that is one of the most romantic things in the world, is a man is just, like, taking care of you, making sure you as a woman get to your rise, get to your orgasm, and he just whispers in your ear, that's it, Moshiri, let it happen, come for me. I'm like, yes, sir. Okay. Of course. What girl wouldn't? I'm sorry.
Whatever you say.
Whatever you say. It was just so good. It was so romantic and tender, but also exciting and dangerous. And
yes. I think that there's a huge difference between the smut that we've read so far and this, because a huge element is romance.
Mm-hmm.
It's romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And the smut we've read before is just blunt.
Very blunt.
Yes. So this was so good to get a little taste of romance. It'll literally ruin men for you if you read too much of it. It's really hard.
Really?
Yes. When I was on a romance kick, I literally questioned my relationship and everything. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I just want a man. I mean, obviously I should have, because it wasn't a healthy relationship and it didn't last. So, but still, it just made me question, like, I want a man that feels this way. I want a man that makes me feel this way, you know? And it's dangerous, but it's also good because it gives you some expectations that I think can be healthy if it's done in a proper way. But, oh my gosh.
And you did find your historical romance.
Juicy. This book is juicy. I did, yes.
So,
yes, but it's a juicy book for sure. I wanted to ask you about her profession and how you felt that in that time, obviously, women didn't really have careers, but the author chose to give her a career. But how did you feel about how he was with her career?
I loved it. I thought it was really, really sweet. Not a lot of men in that time period would have been so accepting of a woman with a career. And in a way, he was protective of her and maybe not so accepting of it in the beginning. But once he took the time to get to know who Maddie was and how she cherished this as a career, cherished this as something that brought out the best in her, brought out the world in her. She's so shy and very, very timid. So it's very hard for her to go to a ball and be in social gatherings, and being an artist and drawing is what gave her a social life. And I think that it was really important for her to be able to keep that a part of her daily routine. And Logan accepting that for her was so romantic. I loved that. Not a lot of men in that time period would have done that. So
yeah, I agree. I thought it was really good. And then she was offered a job, and it was to go to South America, and it would be for months.
Like 6 months.
Yeah. And so they had just consummated. They were so happy. And then she was offered this. And of course, like any good book, she has a glow up moment. Those are my favorite. Love when those are included, because she wears half mourning clothes because her fake fiance
is dead.
So she wears like half mourning, which is just gray. Mourning clothes are like black, so like widows wear black and stuff for a while.
So she wears a lot of black and gray.
So she wears that, and then she's going to a ball, and so she gets an emerald green dress,
and he's stunned.
He is completely stunned. And then there's a good scene in an inn. When they're on their way to the ball, they stop at an inn, and he's hoping to get some, for sure. But they end up she makes a comment about, like, no one will notice me. I don't want to be noticed, you know? And he was like, whoa, whoa, I need you to stop. She's like, whoa, we're in a hurry. We need to go. You were literally just rushing me. And he was like, no, we're not going anywhere until you understand how absolutely stunning you are, how beautiful you look, and that every person is going to look at you.
And then he gets her off.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he
Yeah,
gets her off.
he goes down on her.
He's like, just let me
That's
kiss you
when,
here.
yes,
It's
that's when he
okay.
says he won't mess muss her curls. And I was like, dude, yes. It was
And
good.
that's it.
That's it.
He just wanted to literally take care of her and make her feel beautiful.
It was
And that
wonderful.
was awesome. I loved that.
So good. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. I have many questions. Okay, so do you think that historical romances are better than modern day smut, or do you think that they're the same and they just have their own pros and cons?
Personally, I think they are better.
I
But
agree.
because I think it includes the romance factor, but also I'm obsessed with the Regency era. So I loved like Jane Austen when I was in high school and everything. I loved anything Regency era. So I almost prefer historical or like fantasy that's set back in time, you know? I honestly prefer that over modern day because modern day, I'm just like, ugh, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me as much.
Yeah, I agree.
But this was so good.
I thought it was amazing. I think that historical reading this is my first one. I think they're better.
Oh my
Now,
gosh.
don't get me wrong, modern day smut is still awesome. I love it. I still read a book right after this book, and it was great. So, I'm not knocking it down. I just think that modern day smut takes away the romance a lot, and I really, really enjoyed that. I wasn't expecting to. I thought it was going to be really slow, but it wasn't. It was really, really sweet and cute and respectful.
Oh, I know. I know. Oh, and so your obsession begins and mine continues.
I think that out of the books we've talked about on this podcast, something that can compare romance-wise is probably going to be the first book of the Salacious Players Club. I feel like that one was, there was a lot of respect in that. Because they didn't want to cross that boundary. And there was a lot of romance. I just feel like nowadays men don't just buy flowers or, make a woman f make them, literally make them feel like they're
Woo.
beautiful.
No one woos anymore.
It's just kind of, all right, let's go. Let's get down to business. Like, what
I
the fuck?
know. I know. Romance is kind of dead, but not in historical romance, so that's
We just
why.
have to set higher expectations.
That's what I did for so many years. Very, very lonely years.
Reevaluate our life choices.
Oh my gosh,
They
no.
might have been lonely years, but they literally sent you down the path to meeting your true love and your future husband and somebody that actually does treat you very well and gives you romance.
100%. I just want to say, I always ask about the writing and everything because it's important to me. I think we established how funny this book
It
was.
was so funny.
It was so funny. So I love Tessa Dare's writing, and I've read every single one of Tessa Dare's books. I own every single one of Tessa Dare's
I'm
books.
down for the sickness.
I have every single one, and they're all so good, but I want to show you a different author next time
Okay.
because this other author brings me to tears.
Okay.
Like, literally gets my anxiety going. Like, it's
Aww.
so good.
Okay.
It's so
I'm
good.
down.
I get so enveloped in, or
It makes you
enveloped. It gets me
reevaluate
so,
everything.
yeah. It just gets me so like into it. But I do love Tessa Dare's writing because this particular book was hilarious. She
I
has a
thought it
good
was
sense of
hilarious. There's a
humor.
lot of humor. There's a lot of, and it's subtle. It's not
Oh, yeah.
cracking jokes between each other. It's very subtle, just back and forth sarcasm,
Or like
but it hits the
banter.
best moments,
Yes. Like, so she has a nickname because his last name is Mackenzie. So she calls him like McHasty or
McHorny.
yeah, McHorny. And yeah, she makes up a whole bunch of names for him, and it was so great. And then he when they finally consummate at the end and she is his wife officially, He calls her McHasty. Mrs.
McHasty.
McHasty. And she was like, what did you just call me? He goes, I believe I just called you my wife.
Yes,
It
it
was
was so
so
cute.
cute.
And I believe right after that, she tells them they're pregnant.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? In 9 months? And she's like, well, more like six, but yeah. And he just lifts her up and kisses her. And he's like, we're going to be a family. And he's so excited because Logan doesn't have a good past relationship with his family.
No.
His mother and father abandoned him when he was very young, and he grew up as basically a stable hand. And then this rich man took him in. Basically, just so he could claim him as a son when the war, so when the war started, he could send a son off, and it was Logan, which wasn't his real son, but he did give him an education and provided for him. He did help him in some way, sent him to college and school, but it was for his own personal benefit, which just makes it really sad.
It does make it so sad because then he has like a fear of abandonment issues.
And it's so sad because whenever he falls asleep, he'll speak in Gaelish, but he'll say this phrase repeatedly, and it's "Don't leave me" in Gaelish. And she finally asks one of his men, "What does this mean?" And he tells her, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, that's so sad." And the whole time, so whenever a Scottish Highlander proposes to their woman, they give them this pin, and on the back of it is the initials of his father and his mother, but his initials are the same as his father's initials. So when he proposes to Maddie, she suspects that the other set of initials is his first love, like his first woman who left him. And it's not, it's actually the initials of his parents. And it takes her till the end of the book to realize that there was never another woman. There was never a reason for her to be so insecure about anything. And she realized that those were the initials of his parents and he was abandoned. And it just made everything that much more sweet. And she was like, I'm not gonna leave you. I'm here. Like, I love you. I love you for you. And I know you don't believe in love, but I love you and I'm gonna show you. I'm willing to fight for you. And I was like, oh, Kmeti, you're so sweet.
I loved there were a couple of moments where she realizes, like, he gives her tiny glimpses of what her letters meant to him throughout all these years, because the letters span 8 years, so many years. So he has been reading these. She has no idea, and she just sends little doodles and like sends just things about her life. So he
And
shows
it's usually
up,
pictures of like moths and stuff like
yes,
that.
and he shows up on her doorstep knowing literally everything about her because he was obsessed with her letters. He was looking forward to the next letter. Like, he literally
Fell in love with her in the letters.
in the letters, yes, and she had no idea, no idea.
And we also didn't say this, but he's very, very angry because the last letter she sends him is basically her saying goodbye. I can't keep doing this anymore,
I want
and
to
I
lie to
have
my
to kill you
family.
off. You
Yeah.
like you're not real, and I need to move forward with my life. You're just an imaginary character I've drawn up in my brain. And she
Yeah.
kills him off, and that's why she starts wearing black.
Yeah.
And so when he shows up, he's like, "You killed me."
Yeah. So his abandonment issues come into play here because she abandoned him, but she was so tired of lying that she didn't want to be a liar anymore. And so she was kind of set up. She was given a castle. Let's go. Like, she started a career, and yeah, so I think that it was so sweet seeing those little glimpses, and then so funny that she wrote herself from him,
Letters.
and they made him read one aloud, and it was like a horrible poem. It was so
That
funny.
was hilarious. You don't even know that she's written the letters from his perspective to her
Until that
until that
moment.
moment, until that scene.
And he was like, what?
And then
What?
she's like, "Yeah, let me pick one out for you. Let me get you to read this." And they're at a dinner table with her aunt that she lives with, her maids, and all of his men, and they're just laughing at him, and he's like gritting his teeth. He's like, "You're gonna pay for this."
Yeah, and in his mind, he's like, I cannot even imagine what a 16-year-old girl would be writing to herself from a Scottish lover. He was like, I don't even want to know. And then she gives him her favorite letter she ever got. And it's a horrible poem. She's just cracking up. And that's where the humor comes into play. It was so funny, him having to read
Out loud.
Out loud, a 16-year-old girl's little poem to herself from a made-up lover.
It was funny.
It was
I was
so good.
very, very happy about that. Do you think that Captain Mackenzie had a right to be mad at her for killing him off? Do you think that he had a right to show up at her castle because of that? I mean, obviously we're happy with that, the outcome and the ending, but
Yes.
do you think he had a right to feel that way?
I think he grew attached to that. Like, as a soldier in a war, the best thing that could happen to you is getting a letter. Best thing. So I
Especially
think.
when all of the soldiers' women either die of sickness or they end up leaving their husbands because they're tired of waiting around trying to survive on their own. So they end up
Or
remarrying.
they can't survive on their own. So I think he became attached, but also he was loyal to her the whole time because I don't know. So I think he had,
And
I
he was
think he had
mad
a right.
about that. He was mad that he spent all that time
He
not
couldn't.
bedding another woman because he's getting these love letters from this English lady, and all of his so
Comrades.
all, yeah, all of his comrades know about it. They all see the letter, they see him receive them. And so if he were to bed a woman or do anything, he would look like a cheater, and he would not gonna be that way. He
Well,
was not
yeah,
gonna have that
he
standing.
would
He
lose
was
the respect of his.
lose the respect that, well, even then he was a just a very a bottom soldier, and he worked his way up to Captain Mackenzie, because in the letter she calls him Captain Mackenzie, and he was not a captain whenever they originally, started getting the letters, and all of his comrades started making fun of him, and he was like, oh no, like, I'm gonna be a captain. And so he worked his ass off, and he even says it, like, it's because of you. Like, I did all of this growth and all of this because of you, and you kill me. And he was so upset by
So I think he has a right to
it.
be upset that he was killed off in her imagination, you know? I think
But
he's.
in her imagination, he wasn't real.
It's true.
How,
Oh, I
you
mean,
know,
she
like,
would.
and it's so obvious in her letter. So the first chapter or so is literally a hand selected little
Letters.
letters that she sends him, and it every single letter she sends him, it says, "You're just my imagination. I know you're not real, but isn't this funny? Isn't this cute?" Like, he's very well aware that she has an imagination, and she's just writing so she gets what she wants in society. And so it's like, how can you be mad at her for that? I thought that it was a little bit weird. I thought it was a little bit like, all right, you're being a drama king now.
Yes, but also I think I don't know. I don't know. I kind of feel for him because if I were in his place, I'd be pissed too, especially if he was looking forward to each letter.
But
And
she
then
didn't know that.
I know. And then so whenever he got killed off, she was like he was like, "Oh my gosh. Oh my
I've
gosh."
lost
Like,
the love of my
yeah. And
life.
so like and of course he doesn't realize he's in love with her yet, but still he felt it and he had to mourn. He had to mourn being dead to her, you
And if
know?
I remember correctly, her last letter to him, so she writes him over a period of 8 years, but when she kills him, he doesn't even show up till 2 years later. So
Four.
it's
No, it's even
four,
longer. It's like
okay.
4 years.
So it's like a long time that she's done let him go, stop writing him, and he's just like, hello, how are you?
Yeah, and then he shows up and she's like, "What the heck?" I love it because the maid comes and finds her in her workroom. She's like, "You have a caller." And she's like, "What? A caller?"
And it's a
And
man.
she's like, "It's a man." And he's like, "What? Oh, Miss Gracechurch. Oh." She's like, "What? He's just what? He's just ever so big." And he's just a huge man. And to them, of course, huge is 6 foot because men back then were shorter. But and 6 foot would be towering over everyone. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious. Ever so big.
Ever so big.
And she actually says that in the end too, and she gets another caller and she's like, "What? Is he big?" He goes, "No, he's just ever so peculiar." She was like,
And he
"Okay."
even judges Maddie a lot because she's an English woman who's, Britain has taken Scotland at this point, and a lot of their land is given to other, British.
Nobles.
Yeah, there you go. So Maddie has obviously gotten one of these castles, and he judges her because he feels like, oh, you just stole this land. This isn't even your home, and you're just making up nice and doing whatever you want. And then after a few days talking, getting to know each other, he realizes she's shy and so sweet and loves her servants. Her servants love her. The room she chooses to spend most of her time in is literally the tower room, like one of the highest rooms in the castle, which is set aside for servants because people of noble standing don't need to walk all the way upstairs to go to their bedchambers. Yet Maddie has chosen that. Her servants technically have a noble room, and she has a servant's quarters. And seeing that really changes his aspect of her. And I thought that was super sweet.
Yeah, I love that.
I have other questions. I have other
Let's
questions.
go.
Okay, so do you think that Maddie is in the wrong for withholding herself and consummating the marriage and trying to not, you know?
Ooh, that's a good question, 'cause I think she's trying to find her way out of the situation,
For
'cause
most
she,
of the book.
yeah,
But she's
because,
also falling in love with him the whole time.
yes, and I think that she is wrong for holding it off because she agreed to something, and then she just got nervous and backed out, and he was like, okay, well, I'll give you a week's time to get over yourself, you know? And so a week goes by, and then literally they just have so much sexual tension, but she still refuses, still refuses, still refuses. I'm like, oh my gosh. You agree to something, but now she's just trying to find the letters because he's trying to blackmail her with those letters.
And if they don't consummate the marriage, she can get out of it.
Yes. So she can technically get out of it because it's only a betrothal. And so she's trying to get out of it. But I think that she is a bitch for
I agree.
that.
Honestly, I agree with that. I didn't hate it because obviously it gave build up to the book that was needed,
Yeah,
but I thought it
sexual
was a
tension.
little bit too much. I was like, all right, Maddie, come on now. You're obviously feeling the sexual tension as well. If it was a situation where he was vulgar and berated you, made you feel down about yourself, I can understand. But it is so obvious from a very quick point that Logan's not that man. He's just very protective and I guess somewhat controlling in a manner speaking, but not in a crazy ass way. And I just think he's a captain. He is the leader of his troops, therefore he feels like he needs to have that control and leadership in a relationship as well. But saying that, he does not force her to have sex.
No.
He pleases her and he teases her. He plays with her. He gets her to come a lot, actually. And she allows him. It's not like a rape thing. And slowly he realized he was falling in love with her. He wouldn't say it, but he definitely realized it.
Yes.
He's like, at one point, he literally says, if I have you, if you give me the blessing of having you, you're never leaving me. Like, I will not let you go. I'm like, okay.
Yes, please. I need some more of that. I think that the sex scene should have happened earlier. There's a scene where she gets stuck in a bog, which is just like a muddy, it's like quicksand, but it's just mud. And so she gets stuck in there, and first rule to bogs, do not panic. She's like, I think we should just skip to the second rule. And that's their little banter that they have. And so she gets stuck in there and he helps her out. You know, he helps her calm down, helps get her out. And so it
And then it
starts
starts
to rain.
raining.
Yes, it starts to rain. And so they end up going onto some hill and they make out on the hillside in the rain. And he was like, I'm gonna take you, I'm gonna bed you now. I'm gonna do it. I can't. And she's ready,
And
you
she's
know.
like, okay.
But then he realizes that she's injured,
Because
like
he
her
goes to
hip.
get place himself in between her legs and she
Yes.
whimpers.
Yes, because she was injured, because when she was pulled out, like it, you know, pulled her hip or whatever. And so it hurt her hip. And so he's like, oh my gosh. And so, of course, he dotes on her for.
Why didn't you tell me this whole time you were hurt?
Yeah, and she was like, bro, I'm just ready to bang you, man. Like, but then, oh, I'm so glad we didn't, you know, because now she has more time to find the letters and to try to get out of the situation. But it was just, I was like, that would have been a good.
A good moment for sure.
Yeah,
He
but.
immediately gets up and carries her the entire way to the castle
Yeah.
and is like, everybody, get together, put her in bed, bathe her. It's so sweet. He's
Yes.
so
But she gets to do the same for him later on in the book.
That was a crazy scene.
Yes.
Okay, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So And
Okay, well, actually, hold on. Let's pause that because this next question I have is kind of what we're already talking about.
okay, good.
So, it was my question is, what did you think about the sexual buildup? Do you think that Captain Mackenzie was too much of a tease?
No. Oh my gosh, I will never be mad at a good tease.
Yeah, I agree.
Never be mad at a good
I
tease.
thought it was great.
I eat it up.
That foreplay, though.
Yes. The foreplay is there, and I think that's what's so crucial to historical romance is the buildup. There, it's incredible in every single historical romance. I've read different authors. The buildup is always there because of the rules of their society, because of the rules of the Regency era and stuff. Oh my
One
gosh,
thing that I love
it's
is she's a
juicy as
virgin, so
fuck.
she doesn't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
And he's, let me teach you. Let me tell you how
Men,
to, let me kiss you down here. And she's like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
he's like, I need to prepare you so you can take me, and it'll be easier to take me if you have already come once and you're relaxed down there. And I think the fact that, like, the men that are written in historical romances, all of them take care of the woman in that way. So if you're a larger organed man, you need to prepare a woman to take you. And historical romances, they always do it.
They always prepare.
They always prepare. So that means the foreplay is juicy AF. And that means that the buildup is also there. So I love the buildup. I'm not mad at it at all.
I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. Very sensual. Very. Makes you feel like you're there.
Yes.
You're Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
The descriptions were amazing.
Yes.
Immaculate.
Yes. Okay, the smut in here is phenomenal because of her descriptions, and it's just juicy, and it doesn't make you like cringe, because sometimes it can be cringy.
Sometimes it's way too cringy.
Yeah, and but this was not. It's so tasteful. It's so, I envy.
You're eager to turn the next page.
Oh, 100%. I love it. I envy the characters. I'm like, ugh, I need that in my life. No, it's so good though.
Like,
So,
oh, I'm
so
reading
good.
a provocative book.
Oh my gosh, I just love it, and I love how quick they're like so small. So small. I don't know. It's only 376 pages
Okay,
deep.
so real quick, let's go back to that scene we were talking about at the end. So there is a comrade named Grant, where his memory is all whacked out. He doesn't really remember things past a day. So there is a scene at the end where Maddie has finally consummated the marriage with Logan. She's in the kitchen with Grant. They become very close friends. She loves Grant. He's always so kind and sweet to her, and she's picked up the lingo on how to talk to him when he's starting to feel confused. And she's baking haggis. That's right. She's baking haggis and it explodes in the oven. And Grant freaks out because it just puts
It
him
triggers. Yeah.
immediately into PTSD mode, trauma. Freaks out, grabs Maddie with a knife. And so Logan basically gets in a tussle with him and injures himself really, really badly.
Something like that.
But it's crazy because Maddie, like, she stays by his side for days, does not do anything. And when he finally wakes up, he's like, this is what I want. You're coochie. Give it to me.
And she's like, we can't. You can't do any exercise, anything strenuous. And he's like, but I need you. And she's like, well, and he's like, fudge, she's gonna tell me no. And he goes, we're gonna have to be careful then. And so he's like, what? And so she goes on top. Oh
She's like,
my
it's
gosh.
my turn to take care
It's
of you.
my turn to take care of you. And I think men deserve that. As long as they're doing it for you. If they're not doing
It's
it
a
for
give and
you.
take situation.
Yeah, if they're not doing it for you, ladies.
Then fuck that.
Yeah, no, they don't deserve it. But a man who gives
It's a man who gets.
is a man who freaking gets. Heck
Yeah.
yeah. That's gonna
Oh,
be the title of the episode.
that's a good title,
A
honestly.
man who gives
It's a
will
man who
get. Yeah,
gets.
it's a man who gets.
Ooh.
I like it. But yeah, it's so juicy.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm down for the next historical
Honestly,
romance.
dang, I had a thought and I wanted to say it. Oh yeah. Taylor, have you ever felt crazy sexual tension with someone, whether it was a stranger, whether it was someone you know, whether it was someone you've already been with, whether it was a long-term relationship? Have you ever had like crazy sexual tension?
Yes. And never fulfilled it. Yeah.
Never for. Oh my gosh. Okay, I've had both.
But I knew someone for like 20 years. We kind of grew up around each other.
What was the like sexual tension like for you? Because I know my own experience and I want to talk about it, but
I don't know how to explain it. It's just kind of like you grow up with somebody for a long time, or you know somebody for a long time, and you've always had a crush on them, but you never had the guts to say it. You never wanted to put yourself in that situation with them in particular. You always liked them, you always enjoyed being around them. You would get in a relationship with somebody, or they would. So then that sexual chemistry, I don't like to say it because it sounds bad, but it never dissipates. It's always kind of there. You just don't do anything about it. You're loyal to your person. You don't flirt with them anymore. You don't, but you also stay away from them because you know how you feel. So, and then all of a sudden you're single. You're at the same time and you're like, why don't we just make this happen? And it's weird.
So I have had two experiences. Two. One, I got to fulfill. One I did not, and one of them it was a I shouldn't do this, we shouldn't. It was one of those, and I literally was kissed so hard that my knees buckled, legit, like movie moment, my knees buckled. I was kissed so hard, like. And it was because it was like, I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. And like the tension was palpable. Like, and my knees buckled for it. And then the other time I did not. And I will always remember it fondly. But a part of me will always just be like, dang it. But it was crazy. And I'm telling you, the sexual tension was eye contact. I've never had eye contact like that in my entire life. I've never liked making eye contact. I'm not that type of person. I don't meet people's eyes often. And it's something I try to work on because I'm a professional. I'd like to be more professional and make eye contact with people. It was always something that I was so nervous to do. I didn't like people looking directly at me. I wouldn't mind looking at somebody, but I don't like if they're looking directly at me. And so. But the eye contact, like, just locked and it felt so loaded. I was like, oh my gosh, like, that has never been an attractive thing for me, but like, I will think about it forever.
I
Forever.
bet. It's a Princess
Forever.
Diaries moment.
Yes.
You
Little.
turn the fountain on and all the lights.
Well, that was my first experience. Heck yeah. I turned the fountain lights on for that one. But
Yeah.
yeah, no, it's so freaking good. No, I know it was a little off topic, but I just was like, we talk about sexual tension so much, and we never talk about our own experiences with it.
We don't. Sexual tension is crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. Sorry, we got off topic
We did
by
get
like a lot.
way off topic, but it's okay.
Anywho. All right, well, do you have any other questions?
No, we answered all my
That's
questions.
great. I think this was a great book. For everyone, so go read it. A Scott Ties the Knot by Tessa Dare. You could literally finish it in one sitting if you have a nice long sitting. But it's a really quick read. Such a good book. Good smut. Five peaches.
Five peaches.
Good romance. So go read it. But that's all we have for this episode. So thank you for listening. Don't forget to I'm not gonna let you. I'm literally not gonna let you. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, smutty.babies, and
Like,
like our stuff that we post on there if we ever freaking post. We're gonna get better at
we'll
posting.
get
It'll be a
better.
thing. All right. All right, well, smutty babies out.